This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Universal health care. It's an issue that candidates on both sides of the aisle have talked about for many years now, both on the national and state level. And while their details differ, many have promised that if put into office, they would implement such a plan. Well, the state of Hawaii earlier this year put into effect a universal health care plan to cover children's health care expenses. But already, the state has had to pull back that plan because it's running out of money to fund it. With me now to talk about the details of that and the implications it could have on the healthcare debate nationwide, Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, located just outside the nation's capital. And Grace Marie, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. Always a pleasure.
What exactly did this program provide for, and why did it run out of money so soon?
Well, you know, the state of Hawaii said, we are going to cover all children. We're going to have universal health insurance for children. And of course, in order to do that, they had to make federal funding available and state funding available, federal funding, no doubt, through expansion of Medicaid and the SCHIP dollars. But what they found was that the program quickly, within 7 months, it was running out of money because parents that had their children on their job-based policies were dropping that coverage to put them on the taxpayer-supported coverage. So it was crowding out private coverage to provide health insurance through this public program, which is exactly what we argued when Congress was considering last year expanding the state children's health insurance program up to 400% of poverty. Families making $80,000 a year were going to be able to put their children on this program, crowding out the coverage they already had and making it more difficult for kids who really need coverage to be able to get it. And now Hawaii has shown that's exactly what happened.
Let's talk about numbers, if we can get a little specific here. How much were families potentially saving by doing this? And if we extrapolate it to a national level, which many people want to do, what would that look like?
Well, I think it's really hard to know that, because one of the things we know about government programs is that they're really notoriously inefficient, that you don't have people making the same kinds of choices about using the system and buying coverage that they would if it were their own money. When you're spending somebody else's money, you're not nearly as careful with it as you are with your own, as Milton Friedman so famously said. So what happens is that the program sounds like it's going to not be very expensive in the beginning because they base usage on what private coverage may cost when people or companies are buying it on their own. And then people start to overuse the system, go to emergency rooms when they don't really need to, use medications that they might not otherwise use, and you wind up with people really using a lot more care in the system because other people are paying for it. You don't have the same kind of discipline. One of the things we find with some other consumer-directed programs is that when people have some cost exposure, they make sure that they use the system appropriately. We're not saying that people shouldn't get the care they need, but if everybody overuses the system, we're not going to have enough resources either in money or finance or medical personnel to be able to take care of everybody.
Grace Marie, as we examine the two major presidential candidates with less than 3 weeks to go in this campaign, they're obviously talking a lot about health care plans. We've heard about it certainly in the last two debates with Senator McCain talking about $5,000 tax credits to allow families to purchase their own private coverage. Barack Obama says under his plan, if you like your health care plan, you get to keep it only with lower premiums. And then for those who don't like their health care plans, he would put a plan in place where basically employers would need to provide that, almost a mandate. Explain the difference between the two and how the Hawaii example leads us to evaluate these plans.
Well, and I have to say that Senator Obama's rhetoric about what he's promising is not followed by the policy. I have done a detailed analysis of this, as have many of my colleagues. And Senator Obama's plan would not let people keep the current coverage they have. It would require government would be telling you and telling employers what kind of health insurance coverage you have to have, how much you're going to have to pay for it, and it would mandate that employers either pay for health insurance for their employees or pay into a new special fund to create this new national government health insurance company that is going to compete with private companies and I think very quickly put private insurance out of business. So we would really only have then the choice of this new government plan. So it's not, he's saying it's offering choice. He's saying that employers aren't going to be required, but his plan is a player pay plan. You have to pay. And actually in Hawaii, they have that as well. They say employers have to provide health insurance for their workers. And this has been on the books since the early 1970s. What they find is that companies are much more likely to hire contract workers, to hire part-time workers, different ways of getting around the mandate. So it distorts the economy, it distorts employment, and it would, I think, ultimately put the government rather than families and individuals and doctors in charge of medical decisions.
In terms of what the government can afford right now, which given our deficit isn't much, even if Obama gets elected and tries to move forward with this, how much could he actually get done?
That's such a good point, Greg, because all of these policy proposals were developed before the recent financial meltdown. So everything is going to have to be rethought. And as a result, I think what's most important is that people look at the vision that the candidate is offering. Are they offering a vision in which they believe, as I believe Senator Obama has stated a number of times, that the thing that's wrong with our healthcare system is that we don't have enough government oversight, not enough regulations, not enough government direction, and the government programs are not large enough. We've got to, he wants to expand Medicaid, expand the state children's health insurance, put new rules and regulations on private insurance, whereas Senator McCain is saying what's wrong with our healthcare system is that we don't have patients and doctors in charge of decisions. People are not making wise decisions for themselves because there's too much bureaucracy, because there are too many people making decisions, too many bureaucrats between patients and doctors. We want to give people more choice, more portability of health insurance. If job-based health insurance works for you, that's great. But if you want to buy a plan on your own through a church group, labor union, professional association, you should have that choice too. So he wants to give people more choices of more affordable coverage with consumers in charge rather than government bureaucrats. I think that's really a stark key difference between the two policy alternatives that are being offered. And it's important for people to look at the policy and not just the rhetoric.
Grace Marie, just a couple weeks left here for folks to evaluate that and everything else. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Craig.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. This is Dateline Washington.